Welcome to this edition of When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine, a discussion of sustainable living and what that means to you and me. I'm Jay Warmke.
And I'm Annie Warmke.
And today we're going to talk about solar generators or capturing sunlight in a box.
Okay, that's pretty darn exciting. I don't know. I mean,
that's pretty. Okay. If you're going to say it's exciting, sound exciting.
That is pretty darn exciting. And I don't know how our listeners will contain themselves if we have listeners.
Uh-huh.
So the thing that's interesting to me about solar generators is that it seems like people have been so slow to think about that as a solution to some of the issues that of running out of electricity or whatever. So tell us, what is a solar generator, Jay?
What is a solar generator? Well, the way we make them and define them, it's essentially a power backup system that uses solar panels as its primary power source. So it's a battery backup and it uses sunlight.
Oh, wait. You're using lots of jargon stuff. So let's back
sunlight?
Up.
For, sunlight?
No, sunlight. I got that
okay,
one.
Good.
But
all
you
right.
said the beginning of it, when you were talking about a solar generator, you were using a lot of jargon all the way to battery backup. So we build generators. What does that mean?
Well, what we've tried to do for a number of years is give instruction through workshops, books, and the like about how to create your own solar generator. And these are off-the-shelf materials that you can put together. It doesn't take an electrician or a master's in engineering or anything to put these together. And effectively what you're doing is taking the energy from the sunlight. It's collected by a solar panel. See, I'm going to be as non-jargony as possible.
That is really good.
All right. It comes from the solar panel to a battery and is stored in the battery with the help of a charge controller.
And that's what you mean by battery backup?
Well, the battery is the backup when you use the power that's within it.
Okay.
Just like any battery. The only difference is batteries utilize DC electricity. Don't want to get into what that is essentially, but direct current. All batteries are DC. So the battery in your laptop is DC, the battery in your flashlight, those are all DC. Some appliances, like your flashlight, operate using DC, but your laptop uses AC electricity, which is what comes out of the outlets that you plug a cord into. So within that box, you have to then convert or invert the DC power into AC power. So what the solar generator does is it takes the power from the battery through an inverter that usually takes it, in the case of the ones we build, 12-volt DC and inverts it to 120-volt AC, which is what you would get, from a regular household outlet.
And then you can
plug anything into
it. I'm going to start snoring pretty soon because, honestly, it's too much information.
I don't care. This stuff is fascinating.
I know you think it is. Well, I think what's fascinating about it is the fact that you can capture the sun pretty easily and harness the energy. And then when the electricity goes away, you have a way to generate enough electricity to do a few things in the house depending on the size of the generator.
Sure. Well, let's give some examples. I mean, what have you seen me or yourself used solar generator for?
Well, we have plugged it in to recharge the refrigerator so it would keep everything cold. We used it to recharge the freezer. This is when when the electricity.
Recharging is a strange term for this.
All right. We used
it. Keep them cold. Keep them cold.
Yeah. Okay. To make it be as cold as it needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I know you helped your brother to have a solar generator for the fan and the thermostat on his gas furnace. So the gas furnace is still going to work, but you can't circulate the heat if you don't have electricity. So when the power would go down, he could still run the fan and the thermostat.
Right. And that would be the case is if the power goes out in the middle of the winter, you don't want to run the risk of your house getting so cold that all the pipes freeze and,
right.
and that you can't live in them.
That's
yeah.
right.
So this solar generator allowed him then to continue to live in a nice roasty, toasty house.
Right, with no frozen pipes.
And with no lights, of course.
Yeah, so I think we definitely have used it to recharge the computers and run lights all at the same time. We've been able to watch films when there was no electricity because we had a generator. That's all the things that our life's pretty simple. We're not trying to do too much with it. We have some things that, like your sound machine, your white noise machine at night could run off of its own batteries and things like that, because heaven forbid if that went down.
Yeah, I'd have to listen to the world.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, there are other options with solar generators. Like if you're into camping, and, of course, when you're camping,
I didn't think of that.
You have to watch a movie, because that's why you went back to nature, is so you could watch a movie and have lots of lights and things like that. So,
also, but it doesn't make noise,
right.
nor does it create fumes. Like if you have a motorhome where you go, as they say, camping, I'd call it more like glamping, and you're sitting out in a campsite, the person next to you is listening to that all night and taking in the fumes. So you could use a solar generator without creating all that noise and air pollution.
Right. That's another advantage, a big advantage of a solar generator as opposed to a gasoline or a diesel, or they even have natural gas generators, where you can simply roll or carry this solar generator into your living room.
The battery-powered one?
Yeah, and just set it up and hook your refrigerator to it or hook your television to it or whatever it is you're wanting to run. And it's simply the same as if you're just running off a battery. There's not going to be.
It's not dangerous then, like a gas one?
Because
gas one, natural gas one might blow up or
well,
kerosene.
Typically they're going to be kept outside and with good reason, because you know, we always hear about people who have brought heaters, kerosene heaters into the house in the wintertime to stay warm, and the fumes, you know, they succumb to the fumes. So a solar generator has the advantage of being essentially just running off of a battery. You can disconnect the solar panel from the battery. So, for instance, if you, during the recharging stage, you might have your solar panel outside oriented towards the sun, but it may be impractical to keep that solar panel connected when you're trying to use it. So the panel is there just to recharge the battery, but then you can carry the generator in disconnected from the panel, and use the battery to power whatever it is you need to use. Problem with that, of course, is it's just going to be draining. It's not going to be recharging as you're using it.
You mean the batteries.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if I wanted to build one of these, I mean, we don't build them and sell them, but we teach people how to build them. But if I wanted to figure out how to build one, what would I need to do?
Well, at the risk of getting technical here.
Yeah, don't put me
to sleep, please. Don't put you to sleep. I know you just had a good lunch. So, but, of course, you need a solar panel. Otherwise, it ain't a solar generator.
Okay. So, well, it's not any generating anything.
Well, and I mean, you could have a battery, and you could recharge it from the grid just to charging any battery. But that's cheating. So we want a solar panel. And you'll need a battery of some sort.
But could it be just any old battery, or does it have to be a certain kind of battery?
It's got to be a deep cycle battery.
So
not a car battery. Yeah, the car battery is not a deep cycle battery. But golf cart batteries, marine batteries, those are deep cycle batteries. You can get deep cycle batteries at a number of places, all these Battery Plus or even Harbor Freight. Which Harbor Freight, I think their slogan is, it's as good as it needs to be until you get it out of the parking lot.
Oh, Harbor Freight's going to love you.
I know.
Well,
I love
keep them,
Harbor
you
Freight.
Keep them employed.
I
will say that in your defense.
Their batteries are pretty good, actually. They're deep cycle batteries. And so there, you can get them at a number of places. But the one thing to remember with deep cycle batteries is the deeper you go into their storage capacity, referred to as depth of discharge, if you use 90% of the battery's capacity, that's going 90% depth of discharge. The deeper you go in, the less long the battery will last. So either you get a bigger battery and use a little bit of it, or you get a smaller battery and use a lot of it. But if you do that, smaller battery using a lot, it'll last less long.
But doesn't it have a little alarm thing that tells you when you get to a certain point of the discharge so that it stops it?
Well, that's typically going to be in your inverter. And essentially, the inverter is going to say when the battery drops below a certain voltage, it's going to squawk at you. It's going to go, I can't function. There's not enough power. And for a very simple solar generator, that's usually going to be at about 90% depth of discharge. Since these are emergency backup kind of things, you're not using them every single day, depth of discharge isn't going to be a big issue. So you need a solar panel, you need a charge controller, and you need a battery, and then you'll need an inverter. These are the main pieces. The solar panel generates the power. The charge controller makes sure your batteries don't overcharge. Your batteries store the power, and the inverter converts it from DC to usable AC electricity. All of those need to be compatible with each other. So if you've got a 12 nominal volt solar panel, you need a 12 nominal volt charge controller, 12 nominal volt battery bank, and a 12 volt inverter. So that's really all you have to worry about as far as the sizing. And these things typically come in either 12 volt, 24 volt, or 48 volt systems. And of course, the bigger the system, usually the higher the voltage. If you're doing a whole house battery backup kind of thing, it's going to be 48 volts. But when you're talking about solar generator, let's try and just assume it's going to be 12 volt.
Okay. Too much information. So, but wait.
Or not enough information.
Well, maybe. Right? But here's the thing. You know, like our solar generators are there to keep some lights going, recharge our computers and our phone, and make sure that the freezer and the refrigerator don't completely thaw everything. So, but this is America. We don't want to be inconvenienced. We don't want to have to think about how we take care of things. And if the power goes down, we want something that kicks on automatically and takes care of everything as if nothing is wrong. So does a solar generator work in that instance?
No.
Okay, good.
obviously with any kind of portable generator, I mean, this is like the poor man or the cheap man or cheap woman's option. You can have a
I don't think it's cheap option.
All
I
right,
think it's
well,
people really living sustainably and thinking about it.
I prefer just to be cheap.
So, okay.
But if you want a whole house backup system that'll operate as if nothing happened, you can do that. But it's going to be pricey. And so, you know, if you're willing to spend $20,000, $30,000 for a system that will mimic the grid and continue with all of your activity uninterrupted, that's entirely possible. But we're really talking about a solar generator that costs all of the components less than $1,000. And that's going to require some work on your part to move the generator around, to plug things into it. It's not a big, hairy deal, but it's still activity that you have to participate in order to keep your hot pockets from thawing in your freezer.
Well, the smallest version that would really just keep the lights going and the everything, like the computer charged up, excuse me, wouldn't be $1,000.
Right. No, we have one that a system that costs all the components about $250. Okay, well, you are listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie the coughing Warmke, reminding you it is indeed the end of the world as we know it.
And thank God.
Thank God, yeah. And we always say that because, you know, the end of the world as the world as we know it, it's not sustainable unless you have a solar generator. If you got a solar generator, you know,
that is
cool.
Not true at all.
Oh, come
Jay.
On. In order to be sustainable, you got to buy something. And why not buy a solar generator? Act today. We'll sell you this one only half price. Right? That's the American way. Go out and buy something so that you don't have to buy anything. I don't even know what that means. So.
I'm worried about what that means.
So anyway, we're talking about the smaller version of the solar generator.
Yeah.
And that is a nice option. In fact, I like to say it's the gateway drug to solar. You know,
what's its mean?
It's the small solar generator.
Oh,
you're basically creating a standalone solar system in a box. So as I mentioned, the component parts, the panels on a house, it would be an array. You would have a charge controller. Well, you'd have one on your house. You'd have a battery bank if you were living in your cabin out in the middle of the woods, sticking the finger towards the man and saying, I quit and I'm going to live off tofu and goat milk for the rest of my life. And then you'd have an inverter and you would run all of your household appliances. That's how you would build one if you were building for your entire house. Solar generator, just the same thing.
Is this the miniature?
It's just in a little – well, it doesn't matter what size it is.
I know, but it's a miniature of the system you just described.
Right,
just got all the same parts.
A standalone solar system in a box, which is kind of cool. And you get to learn a lot of stuff.
So what really got you interested in the whole concept of that? Because it seems kind of like a strange thing to think up.
I don't know. How did we get into this? It all kind of evolves. You start putting things together. We worked with it, bought a toolbox, got a battery, just keep, I don't know, playing with stuff, seeing what works. Now, one thing I will say, because a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing, you need to have an understanding of how amps, which is part of the whole electrical equation, and that's what is the current running through your wires. Well, the smaller the wire, the less amps it can tolerate. So you need to make sure when you're sizing this that the wire size is adequate for the number of amps that are going through the wires. And the reason I say that, most advice that I give is usually the result of something catching on fire. That's
or popping, like it's electrocuting
somebody. Right. So of course the very first one I built did catch on fire. And so put in bigger wire and learn a little bit more about electricity. Don't have to know a lot, but putting in breakers or fuses is often a nice way to protect things from catching on fire.
You mean into the solar generator?
Yeah, you can put a fuse. If you're not quite sure how to size the wire, which I wouldn't recommend, we in the little book that we sell, it talks about how to size the wire appropriately based on the load that you're going to be servicing. But if you are concerned about that, just insert some sort of small fuse, breaker, something like that, and that will protect your system because the breaker will pop or the fuse will blow. And you won't have any power, but you won't have set your little
or blow yourself up, electrocute yourself.
Yeah, the blowing up is less likely than catching everything and watching it all fizzle,
melt
and
down.
Pop
and everything's plastic.
Then, I mean, hopefully it won't be a life-threatening situation, just a bit of an embarrassment.
It reminds me of one time I had this friend Kiki, and she was an old woman and she wanted to have a computer because she'd like to be able to do email and things like that. So the salesperson, and she had a lot of money, so she bought a very high-end computer. And the salesperson told her, just play around with it. You can't hurt it. She ended up
those are dangerous
erasing
words.
The code in the computer. I don't know how she did it. And that's what I think about because we've had students who come to class and I hear you say, oh, you can't hurt it. And then you hear this pop and you think, okay, yes, you can.
It's usually the more educated you are, the more likely you are to set something on fire. You know,
okay.
We've always seen that, especially with graduate engineering students. I mean, they can just walk in the room and something's going to catch on fire. I'm not quite sure.
Now you've sent all the engineering people away.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the difference between, so you said amps has something to do with wiring, but what do watts have to do with wire size?
Uh-huh. Well, In the world of electricity, and now you're really going to go to sleep when I start talking
I'm
about
already
this
snoring.
All right. Oh, well, thank you very much. I'll wake you up when I'm finished. Okay.
Can't do that.
So anyway, with watts is essentially how we measure power. And so watts is nothing more than a combination of amps, which is current, and volts. And volts, I like to use the water analogy where it's like water pressure. So you would say if watts is the amount of water going through a hose, then amps is the size of the hose, and then volts is the pressure under which that water is flowing. That's a good analogy, but like all analogies, it's flawed. Watt hours, which is a measurement of energy, which is what we consume, not power, is just how long is that hose running? Is it running for an hour? Is it running for 2 hours? And so on and so forth. So when you buy energy from the power company, misnamed, it should be an energy company. You're buying watt hours. So the first thing you need to know is what do you want to run? When somebody says, I want to build a solar generator or I want to put a solar array on my house, first thing is, what's the load? What is it you want to run? You want to run a laptop computer? Okay, let's figure out how many watts that draws and for how long do you want to run it? So if it draws 45 watts and you want to run it for an hour, you need 45 watt hours of energy. And that's where we begin the sizing of our system. So if you want to run a furnace that draws 200 watts and you need to run it for 24 hours, well, now you've got 4,800 watt hours of energy over the course of a day. So that's just where you start. And then from there, you've got to size back how big a battery bank do you need in order to run that amount of energy? And then how big of a solar panel do you need in order to recharge that battery bank? So all of it comes back to what is the load? So,
well,
okay, so, now Annie, you can wake up.
Thank you.
There you go.
That wasn't a long enough nap.
Uh-huh.
So I guess the thing that we're really talking about is emergency preparedness, because it seems to me like I know in Columbus and also in Athens, there are certain areas where there's a lot of emergency preparedness needed because the electricity goes out pretty often or even for a period of time. And so if I wanted to have a solar generator, how would that fit into my emergency preparedness strategy if I had one?
Well, I think it's like anything where it could be an emergency or it could just be an inconvenience. You know, the power grid goes off for an evening and you wanted to watch a program on television or on YouTube or something like that. Well, you've got a power source for that. But if it is a real dire situation, like a hurricane comes through and knocks out the grid for a few weeks.
Or a tornado or whatever,
we find that a solar generator will give you some power. And it is power that can be reconstituted without any help from the outside world.
So you can refill the generator because the sun's going to come out eventually.
Yes, just as Annie promised, right? The sun will come out tomorrow, and we can begin to use that sunlight to recharge the battery. Now, the bigger the array, the faster it's going to—
More panels that it has.
Right. If I wanted to hook up two panels, three panels, four panels, or one big panel, it doesn't really matter. The more watts that array or panel is rated for, the faster it's going to recharge my batteries in the solar generator. But you've got this as an emergency backup, just like a regular, you know, gasoline generator. Many people have those in case the power goes out and they can plug stuff in. But they're noisy. You'll eventually run out of gasoline and you'll have to go somewhere and refill it. Or
if there's no electricity, you won't be refilling it because the pumps run off of electricity.
There you go. If the disaster is widespread enough, that could be a problem. Or if you had a little remote building, like a chicken coop, something like that, and you didn't want to run power to it, but you wanted lights out there so they would lay eggs. So it could be an ongoing usage, not just an emergency backup, or for camping, or for whatever.
Or it can't be out in the cold, though.
Or right? Just a hobby.
It can't be in the cold, though, right?
No, it can, as long as the battery is fully charged.
Oh, if it's fully charged. Right.
Yeah, batteries tend to, the weaker they get, the more like water the electrolyte solution inside. So a dead battery, when it gets below freezing, can freeze and burst. But a fully charged battery, just like the battery in your car, should be just fine, even in extremely cold situations.
Well, one of the things that I learned from solar cooking and having a thermostat in the cooker is that even when there was no sun, but it was daylight, that there was still some power, some heat being generated. And then it just meant that it took longer to cook the food. And I assume that's the same thing with the solar generator.
Well, as far as recharging, you know, it doesn't have to be full sunlight. But of course, at night, it's not going to charge when it's dark. But if it's a cloudy day, you know, rainy day, it will still be receiving a certain amount of energy as long as it is, in fact, daytime and not nighttime. Although this gets into the whole world, which I get real excited about, where we may find soon solar panels that are generating power outside of the visible light spectrum. And there we begin to look at the possibility of getting energy 24/7. 24.
Yeah. All right.
24 hours a week, 7 weeks a year.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure that's how that goes.
I don't know where that accent came from. But so one more question. What do you think is the future of the idea of these kinds of generators, since we know that the grid is in trouble, we know that it's well past its sell-by date, and that weather is becoming more extreme? How do you see solar generators fitting in there?
Well, hopefully they'll become much, much more commonplace as all of the component parts become less and less expensive. People have accepted these gasoline-powered generators, and they're becoming ubiquitous, but they have a lot of problems, which is noise, pollution, smell, all this other issue, plus having to get the fuel in an emergency situation. So to me, solar generators just make a whole lot of sense. And if we can get them to where they're at an affordable price point, which is why we've sort of gone towards the, hey, you know, don't go out and buy one, just make one on your own. At least if you've made it for yourself, you're going to understand how it works. You're going to be more likely to use it. And it's fun for the whole family.
Well, and we also have a step-by-step little book that we're happy to make available for sale to people on our website at bluerockstation.com.
Oh, and that's non-commercial right there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, we're trying to tell people what's possible.
That's right. And in this world where the sun comes up the next morning, solar power is definitely
king.
There you go. Well, you've been listening to When the Biomass Hits the Wind Turbine with Jay and Annie Warmke. Thank you for spending just a little bit of time with us here. And as your grandmother probably told you when you were a wee little one, the secret to a happy and sustainable life is
play nice with others, clean up your own darn mess, and eat your veggies.
Eat your vegetables cooked with a solar generator. Until next time.
And her children will be here.